My dear respected friends and brothers, it's a very illuminated gathering, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. And to see this gathering, my heart is happy. And I have come to your city after quite some time, praise be to Allah. Maybe it's my first appearance in this masjid, my first visit to this masjid. And we all know that our gathering is for the sake of dhikr, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not for me to be here to give a speech, nor have I come with this intention, nor have I come here to instruct you on anything. The objective that I've come here for is the dhikr of Allah, is that we will sit here for a little while to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before we start and do dhikr of Allah, there are a few points in my mind that I would like to present in your service, so that alhamdulillah we can understand something beneficial upon which we can do some amal, some practice. This majlis, this gathering, our coming will fulfill its objective at that time. Any gathering, if you attend it, any lecture, etc., that if we listen with our hearts, and after listening, if we allow the words to enter, absorb into our hearts and minds, and then we go and practice on what we've heard, then my brothers, we have fulfilled the objective of the listening. Otherwise, it becomes a common practice and we don't attain anything. Rather, another situation arises in parallel with this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will have to answer to Him, to Allah. Allah will ask on the Day of Judgment that I sent you to a gathering and a servant of mine came, or a man came, or a scholar came, or a Mawlana Sahib came, and I sent that person for you. Now, I don't know for whom are here Allah Ta'ala has made this majlis take place, this gathering. Who needs to do the dhikr of Allah? And in this, who will attain benefit for his life and the hereafter? Allah Ta'ala knows best. Allah Rabbul Kareem, Allah knows best. Because I have come here, and I will introduce myself too, that I have no objective of coming here. I was unwell, and it's been quite a while that I haven't been here. I just sat in the car, and I was traveling. I said to a friend, say to the brother that I'd like to go and do dhikr there. That's it. Allah knows best which masjid. And you will see here that, mashallah, I have not been here for a while. And he said, no, let's go to Masjid Noor and do dhikr of Allah. So this is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala arranges everything. Insan cannot do anything. The human being has no control of anything. Who is this for? What is going to be said? Who is Allah ta'ala want to rectify here? Who will be corrected? Who will come to the deen? Whose life is about to pass away? And I thought that, oh, if I have to do this now, I have to go here, I've got this to do, and this has to happen. But Allah Ta'ala says that somebody who has to live, and he wants to continue to live, he doesn't know if he's going to go into the car, the accident's going to take place, and he'll pass away. Allah Ta'ala says the visa is expired. And the meaning of the hadith is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that before death, the person of Iman is prepared, he's given an opportunity. Allah Ta'ala gives a chance to the person of Iman, that he is seated in that majlis, or he's introduced to such a person, or he reaches to such a place where a person's maghfirah, forgiveness is attained, his bakhshish, his forgiveness is attained. And just like this is a gathering of dhikr, and you hear from the hadith, or you read from in Fadail Amal, and you will hear in Ta'aleem, and I will repeat those words, that when the gathering of dhikr concludes, then there are many other rewards, and rather we need a long time to discuss this. There are kitabs upon kitabs and books, and Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahimahullah has written a beautiful kitab for Dhaili Dhikr, Virtues of Dhikr, and many other people have written kitabs on Dhikr, and this is such a treasure that how much can we praise this? We just cannot praise this enough. But there's one thing that we are desperately in need of, my friends, as I said, that somebody prepares. And I need to prepare, and you need to prepare, and I'm in more need than you. What is that? And from this hadith that we get this message from this majlis, the words of the hadith are that when this majlis concludes, when the gathering concludes, and when people get up from the gathering, when it finishes, and when they're free and they're departing, then an announcement comes from Allah, that, O angels, bear witness, testify that I have forgiven all of these people. I said, End of story. Total success. Forgiveness has come. And as soon as that person comes in, a person came and he's totally swamped by the dunya, thousands of sins to the person's name, and the person trembles when he remembers his sins. But Allah Ta'ala is the Lord and the Master. Allah Ta'ala announces that even if you spread your sins between the heavens and the earth, but if you say once to me, Allah Ta'ala says, forgive me, then Allah says, I forgive everything. So don't worry about sins. Don't get scared of sins, because it's our fitrah, nature to sin. But we should not leave the means, the methods via which we will get forgiveness. And we should not leave those practices, those messages, those practices, but that's the mistake we make. So this majlis, such a gathering, Allah Ta'ala says that as soon as a person attends that majlis, and when that majlis concludes, gathering concludes, Allah Ta'ala says, I forgive you. So why should we look towards our sins? When a person leaves this gathering, such a gathering like this, then he's totally pure and clean like an angel. So we should have yaqeen and conviction, Allah Ta'ala's words, totally clean, the stamp of approval, Allah Ta'ala says he's forgiven. That person is forgiven. And he's living in such a way, departing in such a way, that the angels are proud of that person. They're such an impure, dirty person. And such a sinful person, waste of time person. He's been forgiven. She's been forgiven. But who can dare to challenge Allah's rahmah, mercy, what's the reason for that person to be forgiven? Allah Ta'ala has given such a wealth, such an asset through which that Allah Ta'ala has forgiven that person. And we don't ever count that asset. Well, that wealth Allah has given to us, we're standing at the shop behind the till. Even if it's £10, we'll count the £10 three, four times. £10, £10, £10. We'll count the £5 three times. Even if it's £10 turnover or £5 turnover, we'll count every penny. But Allah Ta'ala has given us such a great ni'mah. We never even think about it. We don't even count it. We don't even worry about it. We're not even appreciative of it. We don't even do amal on it. We don't do fikr on it. This great ni'mah of Allah Ta'ala's remembrance, and such a great ni'mah, such a great reward, that there's no greater reward than this in the universe. And the value of this ni'mah is that it's equivalent, even if it's given to us in the amount of equivalent to an atom's weight, it's the greatest ni'mah. Take the sultanates and the kingdoms and the worlds, all the lands, they cannot equate to La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. If somebody has said this with an honest, sincere heart, he's become so rich with regards to the hereafter, that the greatest of greatest cannot match that person. Compare, even the old kings with lands, and they've ruled for decades and got riches and wealth. But I'm equating that to a person with iman equivalent to atom's weight. They are more wealthy and are more weighty than the kings of the world. I remember an event that, mashallah, the friends of Allah, they have great status, unique events. And there was a wali of Allah in India, a friend of Allah in the city was Raibareli, I think. Raibareli, there's a place in India. And there was a pious elder, and his name was Shah Alimullah. Shah Ilmullah, subhanAllah. And what happened, that by chance his son passed away. And he was young, about 23 years old. And as I said to you, that when the call comes from Allah, then it doesn't matter 23 years old, 5 years old, 10 years, 100 years. If a person's 100 years old, he's not going to die. He doesn't pass away. And people from him say, oh, when's he going to pass away? When's he going to pass away? Oh, he comes back home from hospital. And they think, oh, no, he's still going to live. He hasn't died yet. And then he goes to hospital again, then comes home again. How old are you? Just 1 year short of 100. And we hear this often. He's not departing. There's some people, they're 16 years old, and Allah Ta'ala calls them back. This is Allah Ta'ala's desire, and Allah ordained. So his son, he passed away. The Shaykh's son passed away, 23 years old. Young, 23 years old. Allahu Akbar. And such sadness and tragedy, imagine that family, that from a family, 23-year-old young boy, janaza, comes out of the house. Imagine the qiyamah and the tragedy that's taking place in the house. Think. But what was his hal? That people came for mourning, and then when he was buried, after they were free from the janazah, then £5, 5 rupees at that time, it's an old event, he gave, and he said that buy some sweets, buy a box of sweets. So the box of sweets came, and the Sheikh distributed the sweets. And people couldn't understand that, huh? The relatives, this is ajeeb, what kind of father is this? That sweets you distribute when a child is born, happiness, and he's distributing the sweets. And this is an ajeeb statement that he said in reply. And this is iman, the strength of iman. SubhanAllah. He said, why are you distributing sweets? They asked the Hazrat, what's the reason for this? Your son's died. And Is this some new Islamic religious action, or is it a bidah? We've buried his son and he's distributing sweets of happiness. He said, why shouldn't I distribute the sweets? That there must be, is there a greater time of happiness than this? He said, subhanAllah, my son, he's departed with Iman. What a great father. Imagine that today, even if a son is old and we don't even have fikr, that should he recite a juz? Or did he go to recite today? Did he learn some lesson today, Islamic lesson? And definitely we'll think that if something happens, give him the day off from the madrasa. Oh, he can't come now. He said he doesn't want to come. He can't come anymore. And there are such fathers, aren't there? That he doesn't even worry about his father, his son that he's passed away. But he's gone, he's departed successful. He's gone with Iman. He's gone with belief. So this is the wealth of Iman, my friends. It's a great asset. A great asset indeed. So as I was saying, that when a person gets the happiness of maghfirah, the good news of forgiveness, then can there be any greater good news than this? Another statement, event I'd like to present to your service, for this reason that this majlis and gathering is great and you're listening with keenness and earnestly, so I feel like presenting a gift to you. Such a statement, but I need to take a promise from you. That you please don't forget this statement and allow this statement to come into your heart, allow it to come into your minds, and please consider this statement as your objective of your life. Do you promise? Say it loudly, inshallah. That I speak openly without formality. I'm not a peer, not a sheikh. I am a humble servant and I've come here to do dhikr of Allah. Just sit openly like friends and we speak frankly and then we'll start dhikr of Allah. That's it. So when you hear, I'm just telling you some points to benefit for the akhirah, for thereafter. I am the messenger, I'm sending the message for the akhirah. I will leave such points. If you do amal on this, I sit on this prayer mat and I swear by Allah that if you embrace this statement to your heart and you don't forget it and you do amal on this, I swear by Rabbul Izzat, our Rabb, that you will be successful in this world and the hereafter. One statement. And whose statement is this? Is it a wali of Allah? Is it a friend of Allah who said this? Is it a ghawth? Is it a kutub? High ranking wali Allah? Is it a nabi statement? Is it a rasul statement? No. Whose statement is this? This is the statement of who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Allah ta'ala has mentioned this in the Quran. Allah ta'ala said, فَتَقْبُلْ khayrat. That's it, a small statement. Allah ta'ala stated to the people of Iman, فَاسْتَبِقُوا khayrat. فَاسْتَبِقُوا khayrat. And I've just selected this little portion from a verse. And what is Allah ta'ala Rabbul Kareem saying? And embrace this part of the verse with your hearts. فَاسْتَبِقُوا khayrat. Allah ta'ala says that earn as many good deeds as you can. Implement as many good deeds as you can. Take as many as you can with yourself. Sabaqat. Allah ta'ala says if you compete, what you should compete on? Good deeds. Compete with each other on good deeds, with yourself on good deeds. And if we just hear, listen to Allah ta'ala a little bit, we don't even listen ever, but let's listen at least one thing that Allah ta'ala is saying. I swear by Allah, the Quran guarantees that you will never leave the world at loss. Rather, you will get the highest status in paradise. فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. When you wake up in the morning with one intention, that I want to earn as many good deeds as I can. Until the evening, I want to earn as much as I can. As much as I can. And look how much your whole deen Allah Ta'ala has encapsulated. Allah Ta'ala has encapsulated the whole deen. And the Quran is a mu'jaza, is a miracle itself, and it speaks itself. It's not necessary that we have to recite full verses and full chapters, and then we have to understand the events, and then our iman will benefit. No, I've just mentioned two or three words together, a phrase from within a verse, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. And if a person implements this, he will depart with Iman. You will get the high status in Jannah. You will get rahmah in this world, mercy in the world. His rizq, wealth increases. His children have blessings. He has happiness in the world. And he attains all the salah, all prayers. He attains all the good deeds in his life. And much, much more Allah Ta'ala gives to that person. Much, much more. But if I'm making attention, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? Earn good deeds. Implement good deeds. Now, if we listen to this more carefully, that Allah Ta'ala in this statement has given us two messages. Allah has given us benefit in the world, and Allah has given us the direction for the akhirah. And we go against this. We go against this verse. Remember, our life is against this. Allah Ta'ala said that good deeds hasten. Hasten in performing good deeds. Try and compete, and we're going against this and shaitan and nafsain against us. And what we're doing, we're going against, we're going towards the dunya. Earn dunya, increase dunya, run after wealth, however it can come, take it. Not one, make two, two and three, and three and four. Morning, as soon as we get up, in our ears, we just want to hear, open the shop, I need to run a business, I need to do this action, phone this person, do this and that, I need to send this and that. And these are the words that should come in our ears. And the Quran says on the other side, that not running after the dunya, increase the good deeds, increase your hereafter rewards. And this world is temporary. Why do we run after this dunya that's so temporary? Look, let's ask ourselves questions. How do we follow the Quran? How do I follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I say, is it all we have to do this? My friends, we run after the dunya. We have a desire to increase the dunya, the world. Our minds run like computers and technology and our ilm. It runs after dunya. How can I increase my dunya? How can I increase my dunya? We have subjects, economics, this subject, that subject, ABC, marketing, sales, accounting, finance. All these subjects make us run towards increasing the world. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And Rabbul Kareem says what? That increase your good deeds, increase the maqam, increase the rewards. Where's this life gone? Which Jannah are we running after? Which Jannah do we think we're deserving of? Which Jannah will we earn and attain? Our lives are opposite to this. This one statement, if we bring this into our life, then we will see that am I living my life according to this? That do I listen to Allah Ta'ala's hukam? Look, one is not to accept, one is going totally against Allah Ta'ala's hukam, totally against. We don't have a balance, we're not even in parallel, in conjunction or equal to Allah Ta'ala wants. Rather, there's a gap between the distance between the heavens and earth. There are three people who implement this statement, that implement, increase the good deeds. One are those totally free from the, oh, leave it, what are you talking about? You're wasting my time. Oh, look here, look at this person, look at that person, he's got promotion. It's been 3 years, he's come to Bradford, he's got four houses and I've done nothing yet. Look at that person, he's got big villas at home, red villa, cream villa. Look at his son, he's rich and wealthy. And we do this, and we reach to the grave. We can say that I've come after 9 years here. And many people and women are disappeared from it. They've gone into their graves in this time. That they used to sit in, smile, and they've disappeared. Gone, I've done du'as for those people, that this person, and the graveyard has increased in number. And 9 years, is it a life? It's nothing. Such fast the time has passed. And I've come now, seen beards have gone white, and these people were young. This hasn't happened, that happened, I want to do this, I want to do that. And this fikr, a person, he's worried all the issues and he falls into the grave. And this person, has he ever left the world with this fikr? Okay, somebody's made so much in the world. Tell me at least that. Can you show to anyone, share with anyone, that with your janazah has your villa, your house, your home, mansion gone? You, this is such a big deception. Big deception. Think about it, that we're earning. And that just like with regards to the world, we've made a subject, we think that I need to earn this, and if I do this, then I'll get this, and we'll use this technology, and this will happen if we do this, then we can take over this person, and if we do this, we'll make such a beautiful building. Thousands of things. My brothers, have we ever thought that how can we earn good deeds? What's the technology that we should use? One is that group which is totally free, totally at loss. They have no desire for good deeds. Oh, it's okay, I'll pray Salaam one day. And second group. So first are those who don't care about good deeds. They don't want to practice good deeds. Second section of a sector of people are those who want to do some actions. Jummah comes, they pray Jummah. Sometimes they pray Salah, sometimes they don't pray Salah. They laugh it off. And somebody who goes on Tabligh Jamaat says to the brother, please come to Namaz. Then he comes to Salah, then he slips out the back door and his life passes like this. 50-50, half this and half that. Is this a life? Playing games? That a person who runs and runs away from the deen as fast as possible. And then let's take the third sector of people. The third sector, 5 times salah, tahajjud, Quran, recitation, Ramadan, practice of deen. And is this enough? Is this enough for us? Tell me. Is this enough for us? That this dunya that we have to leave and the world that we have to go to. Then tell me, for example, if we have to try, we've got one house and it's a 6-bedroom house. And it's got central heating and it's comfortable. Are you satisfied with that? Is that the end product that you want to achieve? Not at all. After a while you'll say, oh, I should change this house because this is not right for me. I need to increase, expand. I want to move somewhere else. I'm too used to this. I want a better location, a better community. I'll try and sell that house so I can increase my affordability. Buy another house. I'll be never satisfied with this house forever. This is the hadith. Isn't this the case of the dunya, my friends? This is not the case with us all. Are you listening to what I'm saying or not? You're listening attentively? then listen attentively to what I'm saying. This is not a speech, this is the pain of the heart that I'm sharing with you, inshallah. Let's improve our lives, change our lives for the better. Let's think our mindset and thought process. There's a big target that we need to achieve. We've got a big mission in life to achieve the rewards of thereafter. I give you an example of this, that for example, there's a person, and Allahu Akbar, Allah is great, that you give him some land to that person on lease. This is a 10-year lease. It's a fertile land, and there's a river flowing next to it, and there's a ditch next to it, and this beautiful fertile land. And the speciality of the land is that you can grow as many plants as you want in that land. And you've given a 10-year lease. You've attained on that land, and you attained that land. You even paid for it free of charge. 10 years lease. You have that land, and so beautiful. Whatever you seed, you sow, that plant will grow. That man will say, "I've got the land. I've got everything. Great transaction. 10 years are finished, completed." And then you have to give the land back. No, I haven't earned anything yet. Oh, I was thinking to grow this. I was a bit lazy. I should rent a bit more. I felt like going, but I couldn't go. You say, sorry, your lease is completed. Leave the land now. You're free. Sorry, your land is taken back. Have you earned anything in 10 years from that land? Me and you, what are we? We've been given a lease of life. Allah Ta'ala has given us a lease of Iman. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Say it something at least to praise Allah. What's happened? Are you sleeping? Wake up, my friends. That from so far I've come, that please don't go to sleep, my friends. What has Allah Ta'ala said? Subhanallah. As Allah Ta'ala has given to us what? The land. Say it loudly. Iman. Allah Ta'ala has given us Iman. This is the earth that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. And how much lease has Allah given to us? It's written at the back. That somebody's got 50 years lease, somebody's 30 years lease. We are all living in this world on lease. This is not permanent. This earth is on lease. And alongside this, the rivers Allah Ta'ala has given, the rivers of Amal, the deeds. The rivers of deeds. What guarantees Allah Ta'ala given? فَاسْتَبِكُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Allah Ta'ala says, whatever seeds you sow, every moment the plants will be ready. Subhanallah. The more you sow, the more seeds you sow, the more you will reap. The more you will reap. And Allah Ta'ala says, grow as much as you want. Earn as much as you want. If you don't grow anything on that land, you've got the lease of life, then you're wasting your time. 30 years, you're wasting your time. When you go to Allah, you ascend to Allah Ta'ala, then you will have wasted your time. The more you sow, the more you will reap. Where will you eat the fruits? You will sit in Jannah, Subhanallah, and you will break the fruits of this plant that you have sown, the seeds in the world. So where will you get the fadl of this salah you're praying? In the hereafter, in Jannah. And why? People say, why are you wasting time here praying and deen? There are many people criticize. Come on, let's work. What's this you're doing? Your children have gone towards Tabligh. Where he goes? What's going on here? What are you doing here? This is what happens, isn't it? But so where will he eat the fruits? When, Subhanallah, when he will see the person who's punished who leaves the deen, he'll have bitter water to drink in Jahannam. The person in paradise will have sharab and alcohol and hoods and maidens and beautiful women. Doesn't the Quran tell us this? Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. We should praise Allah when we hear good things. Subhanallah. So let's see here now. So we are on lease here. Our life is a lease. And such a life Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Allah Ta'ala says you can earn as much as you want. First of all, earn as much as you can. Earn as much as you can. Implement as many good deeds as you can. Allah says, remember, as much as you can. This is not enough to earn in 5 times a day. No, Allah Ta'ala says work harder and do nafil, voluntary actions, mustahab, sunnah. Even then it's not enough. Even then it's not enough. Yani, in other words, the example here is that 40,000 Anbiya, if you take the deeds equivalent to 40,000 prophets, I read this hadith, I can't remember the figure. So many deeds if you take to thereafter, that when you stand at that time you say, hi, I've earned so few in number. And we have to go to that world where no deed is enough. Open your eyes. Open your eyes wide. Become alert, awaken. If we're poor here, may not be that we're poor here and poor in the hereafter. We cry here and we cry in the hereafter. No, my friends. This life we will waste. This life will pass away, whatever may come. It doesn't matter if you're eating a dry piece of bread, even if you've just got water for the day, the time will pass. But it should be halal, alhamdulillah, even if it's a little bit. If you've got halal one day to eat, and on top of that you drink green tea, my stomach's filled. It's full. Alhamdulillah. I've experienced this. I drink green tea, and I have 2-3 dates, even today. That Bradford, I've come with my lunch on the way. Look in my bag, that's what I've got. Some green tea, 3 dates, and not just some green tea. This was my lunch. That's enough. We can pass on that. And in the morning, I won't tell you, but in the morning, you'll say, oh, he's a magician. He doesn't even eat or drink. So this is the reason that halal is so much barakah, so much blessing. Allah Ta'ala says so much blessing that with halal, Allah gives total strength. Mulufal. Now let's, for example, you could wrestle. I'll wrestle with you. You can wrestle with me. I've got total strength and power. Allah Ta'ala gives strength and josh. And Allah Ta'ala says that I prepare a person to do ibadah, worship. If you eat halal, and if you eat haram and have chicken and biryani, shami, kebabs, and look at your hal all night long, you'll realize the illness and the weakness. One salah, that all the month's prayers will go, I've got pain on the bed. And you want that, you have power and strength and energy, but you can only get that through halal. Allah gives the strength, Allah gives the vitality and vigor. So what's Allah Ta'ala saying? That don't be a miserly person for the sake of the hereafter. Earn as many good deeds as you can, implement as many good deeds as you can. So what we realize is that there's something better than here that we can earn for. How many good deeds should we practice? We pray 5 times salah, tahajjud, ishraq, 4 salah, we recite Quran. Whatever we do hajj and umrah. Allah can give us more than this. Allah says, this is not enough. You can do more than this. So how should we do this, Allah? Allah gives the answer. Ya ayyuhalladhina, ya ayyuhalladhina. Allah Ta'ala says, oh, you people of Iman, remember me in abundance, and remember me in the morning and the evening as much as you can. Allahu Akbar. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, let me tell you 2 things here. That this is a promise we need to make, that will we earn good deeds? Practice good deeds, not these good deeds, just I've prayed salah, that's enough, 5 times salah, and I've prayed tahajjud. No, we need to go beyond this. We need to go beyond this. I'm telling you the path, the route to Jannah, my friends, with this hadith. What you prefer for yourself, you should prefer for others. Prefer for others what you like for yourself. On the day of judgment, you'll ask me, what did you come here to do in our masjid? What do you come to tell us? Did you come to tell us you're a sheikh and a Naqshbandi? No. No, we didn't come for this reason. I'm ajiz, I'm simple and humble. I'm so happy that if one person listens and accepts my message, then I will be successful. That my akhirah will be successful. If one person takes my message, there are 2 things I would like to explain to you today. 2 messages I'd like to give you. 1 message that we have to do. And 2nd thing, and 3 witr. And in witr, in 3, the Ordama, this barakah. Say subhanallah. So 1 action I've told you, that the objective of our life is to implement good deeds. Our life is not about earning dunya world. Allah Ta'ala has made it very, you can say, concise. And the person who runs after the world, Allah Ta'ala is displeased with that person. He just keeps running after the dunya, keeps running after the dunya. And the person who accepts what Allah Ta'ala is saying and tries to do good deeds, Allah Ta'ala says, I give you the dunya as well. And that person attains the dunya. So we need to run after those actions that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Allah Ta'ala has given us the good actions to perform. So if we run after the good actions, we can't fulfill our allotment. Allah will give you actions to do that will complete your deen, saturated, complete deen when you go to the court of Allah. Allah will say that, you earned good deeds. Oh, angels, open the doors of Jannat al-Firdaus for this person. Then I will say to you, I'll shake your hands. Oh, hello, how are you, boy? I saw you in Bradford. And they will enjoy that time. So one thing you've accepted in advance, that we should earn good deeds. You've all accepted this, haven't you? You've written this on your heart? Good, let's go forth now. So point number 2. So first, implement good deeds. Earn good deeds. Practice good deeds. Number 2, how do we do this? So I'd like to mention to you the next point that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran. 2 actions that we need to do to earn good deeds. And if we do this, we'll have so many good deeds that the angels will tire writing. Allah, our wrists are tired, our hands are tired, our pens, the inks have dried up. So much Jannah this person earned. We've written the record, so many halls he's earned. So many buildings and mansions. He's so rich with regards to the hereafter. That we're tired of writing the records. This is the hadith that states that with regards to the world, there's some people, their hair is disheveled, and their clothes are torn, and the smell coming from their bodies, Allahu Akbar. And people say that this third class person, is he insan? Allah Ta'ala says, they are such people. But with regards to the hereafter and the rewards, they have so many rewards. We don't see the rewards, they're invisible, aren't they? Deeds. We'll only see that their clothes are torn, and their hair is not combed, and their beard's grown, and there's smell and odor, body odor, B.O. come from the body. Where have you come from, you dirty person walking around here? Comes out to the masjid, he smells and he spoils the places in the masjid. What does Allah Ta'ala say about such a person? That this person has so many good deeds, he's such a rich person, so wealthy, that if he raises his hands to do dua, Allah Ta'ala says, I don't reject this person's dua. I don't reject it. This hadith, when this hadith was mentioned, that there was a sahabi, Hazrat Bara' ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, say subhanallah, and he was an ashik and a lover, a sahabi, a noble companion of the Prophet. Allah's Nabi says, when he recited this hadith, narrated this hadith, and he said that just like I am, Bara is like this. Allahu Akbar, the secret was unraveled, and this was his hal. He had torn clothes, and all the companions were like this. Imagine his condition, torn clothes and smell and his hair. When Allah's Nabi narrated this hadith, and Rasulullah, some people are like this, they raise their hands, they haven't even raised their hands, Allah accepts their dua, just like Bara. Subhanallah, Bara bin Azib and Sahabi said, "Acha, this companion, what was their hal? What was his hal? That whenever he would do something, for example, when he went to an expedition or a clash and they could see the Muslims weren't attaining success and they weren't succeeding, then they would run to him and say, call Bara, call Bara, call Bara. Call him quickly, do dua for us, ask Allah that we can win, request Allah." Subhanallah. The Sahabi, Allah's Nabi had said the hadith and they had yaqeen that whatever Rasulullah said about the Sahabi, that's truth, and that is like writing, inscribing on the stone. He said, "Why should I do this?" He said, "Quickly do dua, recite dua, we are unhappy, we're losing, we need to win. Rasulullah said about you that your hands don't even raise and your dua is accepted." "No," he said, "why are you asking me?" Rasulullah said, this in reply, that you don't even raise your hands and your dua is accepted. He said, "Allah, give victory." And just within the second, those Sahaba would be victorious. They would win. Why? Because they were amirs of the hereafter. They wanted to do good deeds. And we can be in the same way. That it wasn't just the Sahaba who had, you could say, a claim to the hereafter. We also have Quran. We also have Deen. We can also practice. My brothers, these two actions I'd like to tell you. Then I'd like to start the dhikr gathering. And then the salah time will come. So these are the two amal that we need to bring to our lives. Good deeds upon good deeds. Number one, that what I've told you, what I learnt, what I've said, I will share with you. First, one amal. Remember, what is that deed? The dhikr of Allah. The dhikr of Allah. There is no greater machine that manufactures good deeds than this action of dhikr of Allah. All deeds, all amal, Allah Ta'ala has given to us to a certain limit. Allah Ta'ala has given hisab, salah 5 times a day, hajj once in the life minimum, and 30 fasts in Ramadan. These are all allotted number. Allah Ta'ala doesn't increase. But where Allah Ta'ala said dhikr, Allah says in the Quran, kathiran kathira, abundance, abundance high number. There's a reason for this, my brothers. Why? Wherever we see in the Quran the word dhikr, Allah Ta'ala gives the words kathiran kathira. Why? Allah Ta'ala said, as much as you can. That everything has a limit. But there's no limit in the dunya to dhikr. Allah Ta'ala says, I've not kept it for this reason. Allah Ta'ala desires that we earn good deeds. We earn good deeds. We should earn as good many deeds as possible. The dhikr of Allah is such an action that we can earn so many good deeds, so many good deeds. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ. What is Allah Ta'ala saying here? Allah says, look. So all you will consider that dhikr, we do dhikr. I remember Allah subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa ilaha illallah, wa la ilaha illallah, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. No. Allah Ta'ala says dhikr, I've said kathiran kathira, that there's no limit. Say subhanallah. Now we have to ask, how do we do this dhikr without any limit, without any number? Infinite. So just like we count dunya, money, and accounts and finance, then the people of thereafter have made a formula that we know how to do dhikr with our mouths and tongues, but we have to eat and drink, we have to speak and go to sleep, then we stop doing dhikr then. But Allah says, no, dhikr in such a way that it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. Do dhikr in such a way that it doesn't stop. Allah, Allah, that you have said do kathira, kathira dhikr in high number, abundance. Allah says, yes, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُودًا وَلَا جُنُوبِهِمْ. Do dhikr whilst you're walking, standing, sitting and lying down. Allah says, whilst you're sleeping, lying down, awake. Allah Ta'ala says, remember me. So how do we do this, Allah? What is this that we need to do? Allah Ta'ala says, I've given you an action, a way to do this. Say subhanAllah. Glory be to Allah, but we don't pay attention to this. So the researchers, they know this. And what is that action? They stated the heart. Do Allah Ta'ala's dhikr with your heart. Does your heart, does the lung ever move? Does the kidney ever move? The machine is inside everything. Every organ is doing its function with the heart. Allah, Allah, Allah. This is it. The heart beats. I remember a Naqshbandi teacher went to America and he had a heart issue at that time. And he was a sheikh, a Naqshbandi teacher. And the doctors, they scanned the heart, they did a test, and when they put the test machine in, he was a Naqshbandi, he had already researched on doing the dhikr of Allah in the heart, and he used to do dhikr in his heart. When they put the machine on his heart, the analysis, they could hear, Allah, Allah, they said, is there a man inside saying something? What's going on here? Subhanallah. And he said, no, there's no man here, no mouth here, but my organ has become alive for the purpose that Allah Ta'ala has given it to me. Just like a parrot can say, Allah, if a parrot cannot speak, but when you make it, when you train it, it starts saying Allah. So Allah Ta'ala has given the heart for this reason. But we've never made the heart say Allah. Allah, have you ever made your heart say Allah, Allah? No, kharafat, nonsense, singing, music, nonsense actions. And a heart knows all of these actions, a master of sins. till 3 a.m. it'll make you sit on the telephone. Oh, let's go this way, this way, this side, that game, this game, this joke, drama. Because we've taught the heart the wrong things. Whatever you teach, apparently will recite. So a person who listens to Allah, that we are going to do the dhikr of Allah always, then Allah has given a machine, an organ. And if we train the heart, just say Allah, Allah, nothing else, the heart grips hold of the name of Allah. It doesn't remember any other lesson to this extent that until it goes to the grave, the heart will continue to say Allah, Allah, Allah. I've seen many deaths like this myself. So my brother's first lesson, do dhikr of Allah. Do dhikr of Allah. And how? How do we do dhikr of Allah? With our hearts, subhanAllah. Now we've understood what I'm saying. So leave this line of the using the fingers and the mouth. We need to make deeds, just taking the tasbih with the fingers. Allah, Allah, Allah. What sort of situations? Don't become a person of the tasbih. Of the tasbih, the rosary, beads. No, become a person of the heart. If you know a Naqshbandi teacher, ask him, how do I do dhikr in my heart? Infinite. And he'll teach you. He won't just teach you in the heart. He'll teach you the dhikr of Allah in 7 places in your body. Your whole body will start to beat to the name of Allah. Allah, Allah. We think it's just the heart that does dhikr. Allah has given 7 positions in the body. And this is research has been done on this. And the physicians and the spiritual physicians have researched on this. There are 7 maqams, 7 physical places in the body. That when the shaykh gives the ijazah, those 7 different spots start to beat to the name of Allah. All of them do the dhikr of Allah. But a person departs this world without learning this. What night can a person pass without doing the dhikr of Allah? Soon as he wakes in the morning, no dirty thoughts, no bad thoughts. First announcement in his heart is Allah, Allah, Allah. All night long, ibadah, angels tire giving the reward. Once saying Allah, the reward once, 2 people if they pass away. If one person, the second person to pass away, if he says Allah once more in the life than the first person, then his gap will be more than 10 times over in terms of reward and status. My friends, Allah's name is there. And do we know when Qiyamah will come? You'll have heard this hadith that as long as there's one person present in the world who's reciting Allah's name, Allah says Qiyamah cannot come. Because the word of Allah will prevent the coming of Qiyamah. So in that heart that Allah Ta'ala's name is mentioned, imagine Quran and Tahajjud and all the actions that are programmed. So will we do this, my friends? That's when we'll have success. We'll say that this gathering I've come to have succeeded. So easy. You don't need wudu. You don't need to go to a specific place to do dhikr in the heart. You don't need a masjid. You can do dhikr in the plane. You can do dhikr in the car. While you're riding your cycle. You're sitting with the wife doing dhikr. With your children doing dhikr. You come to the masjid, dhikr in the heart. At your shop, dhikr in the heart. No work, occupation, pastime, the world can prevent you from doing dhikr of the heart. And it's not necessary that you have to listen and wait and hear. Just start when you're doing it. And you stop and you think, is my heart doing dhikr of Allah? And then you start doing dhikr of Allah again. And then you practice and you tame the heart, teach the heart, learn it. And this servant has come to teach you this. I haven't come here to request money or collection. I've come to teach dhikr. I haven't come to ask or request. I've come to give this teaching of the dhikr of the heart. And those are the fortunate people with good destiny if they take this dhikr of the heart, and your heart will become alive today. I haven't come here to make murids and students nor my sheikh or peer. I've come to teach dhikr so that on the day of judgment, your graves are illuminated and give you reward. So will you learn, my friends? Inshallah. So one thing we've understood today, dhikr of Allah, learn the dhikr of the heart, and the dhikr of the heart, that your heart is always alive, and then whilst you're alive, whilst you're walking, sleeping, always your heart is alive. Then make your heart your friend and teach it the dhikr of Allah, and such a time will come that you will hear from your ears that your heart is saying, Allah, 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 and it's reminding you to do dhikr of Allah. Why are you ghafil? Come pray salah, and your salah will be good, your tahajjud will be good, your nawafil, your voluntary deeds will be good, and your ilm will come into your heart, and if you're an alim, scholar, your ilm will go to the heights. If you're a muhaddith, scholar of the hadith, and then your hadith will give you great ilm. Hazrat Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu anhu, a hadith of his, I remember. What a great sahabi, noble companion, great scholar. And he said that the gatherings of dhikr of Allah, they make a person's heart alive. The gatherings of dhikr make ilm and knowledge come alive, and they create khashiyat and knowledge in the heart. Such a great companion as Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu anhu. Was he saying this from his own self? He had experience, he had heard. He's great faqih, great jurist, alim. And the ulema, the scholars here know this, that he said that the dhikr of Allah makes the heart come alive. So what this means, that ilm is, you could say, dormant as long as a person doesn't do dhikr of Allah. We'll have to accept this. And ilm, knowledge comes alive in the heart. Hadith come alive in the heart. And Quran comes alive in the heart at that time when we do dhikr in parallel. Hazrat Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu anhu has told us this. Great scholar. And this is a hadith that tells us that the heart, that is not alive to dhikr of Allah. That person's not alive. No, I've eaten four chapatis, I've had a second marriage, third marriage, four child from the first, second, five from the second, third, and I'm not alive. Allah says, yes, that person's deceased. Who doesn't do the dhikr of Allah? Who? Those who don't do the dhikr of Allah, they are deceased, and those who do dhikr, they are alive. So we are all deceased. We are all deceased, my friends. So in the life, we are deceased. We leave this world deceased. So how dare we leave the dhikr of Allah after today? We should learn dhikr. Learn the dhikr of Allah from a friend of Allah. It's not necessary you learn it from me. From whoever you have a compatibility with an interest. You have aqeedah and belief and conviction in a teacher. And he's a Naqshbandi teacher. That's important. This is the generation and day and age of the Naqshbandi order of dhikr. The Chishti sheikhs, they can sit back. They have made a lot of effort. And the Qadri sit back. But this is the day and age of the Naqshbandi series, because we can't spend a lot of time and effort. We can't spend too much time because we have busy lives. This is the age of science, technology, advancement. We can, whatever we do, wherever we are, we can close our eyes and do the dhikr of Allah on the heart. Easy and very simple, and it will allow us to take so much thereafter. The easiest dhikr, Naqshbandi, silent dhikr of the heart, and we earn so much in so few time. We don't have to give, take, we have company, we're doing dhikr of Allah. And just like, for example, in the olden times, you have to just sit there in the old days, 40 days, go to the isolation in the wilderness, and you have to do the action, mujahidah, struggle, strive. No mujahidah today, no striving, effort, not too much time. Learn dhikr with ikhlas, sincerity, and just as your sheikh advises, do the dhikr in that way. So will you learn, my friends? You understood what I've said? Now I'll come to the second point. So to earn good deeds, to implement good deeds, we needed two things. The first thing I said was, do as much dhikr as you can. And the second point, without which there's no recourse to success. There's no way to success. And there's nothing that compares to this amal. This action is the icing on the cake. It's essential, critical, good news in this world and thereafter. And what good news do we get in this world if we practice this deed? Allah Ta'ala does say, that Allah Ta'ala says that, not that you love me, Allah says, I will love you if you do this action. Ajib. Ajib, what is this action? Aha. Allah Ta'ala says that, look, such a great person, he loves Allah. We want this state, isn't it? That Allah Ta'ala gives us the stamp of approval. Allah says, forget people saying that you are beloved to Allah and you are close to Allah, you're a good friend of Allah, you're pious. Allah says, rather, don't you want to hear that I love you? Easy deed. Shall I tell you what this deed is? Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. This is called Sunnah Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To practice the Sunnah, to imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today we say, oh, if you practice Sunnah, fine. If you don't, no problem. This is the standard of our deen today. Allahu Akbar. So no Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is minor. No Sunnah at all. How dare we? This is a great rejection of the Sunnah. Every sunnah makes a person go qareeb, close to Allah, makes a person beloved to Allah. Every sunnah. The second amal is that from morning until evening, there are two tariqas, two methods. One is to live the life according to our desires, and one is to live the life according to the practice and the way and the method of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You wake up in the morning, you wake up, that's it, but stop. And think from him, how did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wake up? That's it, that's all we have to do. And practice the sunnah way of waking up. Is this difficult? Is it hard? I have to wake up physically, waking up in both ways. But the difference is that we are following the Habib of Allah, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second way is to follow shaitan. We wake up and we wake up in the way that we want to. But if I wake up and I think, sit for a moment, how did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wake up? What was his style? What did he do? And then if we do that, that will become a great worship. Barakah will come in the life, blessings, shaitan will disappear, Allah will make you his beloved, and the start of your day is full of blessings, and you will leave your home as a wali of Allah. Think for a moment, you just change your mindset for a few moments. We've learned the tariqah, the method. Go to the ulama scholars and learn. Say, please, can you teach me, how do I wake up in the morning? How did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wake up? And there's a small kitab of the sunnah ways of doing things. How did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wake up? He used to rub his eyes. What were the verses he would recite? And after waking up, what actions would he perform? What would he do? 3-4 amal. Just remember them. Now we have to go to the toilet. You're going to the toilet, running into the toilet. Look, stop for a moment. How did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam go to the toilet? Say subhanallah. How did he go into the toilet? Stop. Then go into the toilet and say, we teach your children Allahu Akbar. And the worst dirty place where jinnat come, jadu, magic. And that's why half our qawm today is mad. Today the amils, they're earning money, the magicians, sorcerers, exorcists, and they're earning money. They have no knowledge to give to us, no solutions. But it's because today we've left the sunnah, so we have issues and problems, and the jinns and the magicians come into our life in kharafat and loss and magic and sorcery. In every home you'll see a person who's mad, or a person who says, oh, I'm depressed, I've got mental issues. There's no such thing. Rather, there's no medicine. It's not depression, it's shaitan who's overtaken the minds of people. If I leave the sunnah today, the greatest of people, personalities, they today in the world, we say they're famous, but they are, people have been attacked by depression. When you see someone depressed mentally, he has an issue, Allah, that person has left the sunnah. There's one cure of depression. Thousands of people have given the cure with the fadl and grace of Allah. Mad people, so-called mad people who had mental issues, gave them, Allah Ta'ala cured them. They answered, Allah said, no, there's no cure for you, no medicine can cure you. With the fadl of Allah, when they practice the sunnah, all their problems were cured. In 40 days, within 40 days, their problems were cured. Because they came onto the track, to right path, they learned the sunnah. So what do we need to do from morning till evening in our life? We need to live our life, business, home, family in the car, home, wife, children, wearing clothes, taking clothes off. And what clothes did Nabi Sallam like and prefer? We use those, and all of this becomes the practice of the sunnah. And this is a machine to earn for the hereafter. And what is the thawab we will get? Man ahabba sunnati fa man ahabani Allahu akbar. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whoever loves my sunnah, I love that person. And these are the true lovers of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Not jalsa, not julus, not marches, demonstrations and announcements and flags and shouting. The true lover. The true lover will be that person you will see who doesn't see which country I am, where am I, which hemisphere, etc. No, he has one color, one practice, wherever he is. Medina, Makkah, Pakistan, India, Gujarat, America, Western Hemisphere, Spain, wherever, the color and the form of the sunnah, Sibghatullah, is in that life of that person. Subhanallah. Then you'll see what that person becomes. Whichever sunnah. Because, for example, you have to eat every day, isn't it? We have to eat, we have to consume. So how did the Prophet ﷺ eat? How did he sit? First he'd wash his hands, he'd sit on the ground, and he would sit in different ways. He would raise his leg, say Bismillah, start in the name of Allah, eat what was in front of him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do this dua when he finished, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what he ate. Does this make any difference? We have to consume the same amount of time eating, but your eating will become nur ala nur. On every morsel you are earning Jannah, Subhanallah, if you eat in the way of the sunnah. And this is the other way. So we should do these two points, bring your life in accordance with the sunnah. So one point, first Allah Ta'ala said, earn as many goodies as you can. And there are two actions to earn good deeds. One is to do dhikr khafi, dhikr of the heart, silent dhikr. And the second action is sunnah of Rasulullah in your life. Why don't you wear the imamah? Oh, I'm ashamed. Is this something to be ashamed of? The imamah, the blessed turban of the Prophet, and the dunya, if £5 falls into the drain, even if 40 people are watching, oh, I've got to put my hand into the drain, I've lost £5, and he's putting his hand down in the drain, and there's excrement there, and urine, and he's happy. Where's your shame gone? You put your hand into the excrement, where's your hand? Just £5, and then you take your hand out and wash it, and you wash the money and put it in your pocket, the dirty money. And why don't you wear the imamah? Oh, that you get the reward of 25 extra salah. And in some hadith, there's a 70 extra salah reward and accepted salah. And Juma accepted. And you leave everything. Man habba sunnati fa man habbani. Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he announced that today this person, if he prays salah with imamah, then I start to love that person. An extra reward for his salah, 25 to 70. Now we don't want to do this, but we want to have gatherings. And we want to bang the drums. And we want to say long statements and bayans. Are we human beings? What's happened to our brains today? We don't understand the value of the sunnah. Dare we don't come to the masjid unless there's an imam on your head after today. Who are we ashamed of? Why are we ashamed of the sunnah? You're getting thawab, reward. Allah's Habib system has given us such a great sunnah. Allah is happy that this is the crown. The imam is the crown of the mu'min. The ulama have said this. And you get hilm. Ilm increases, knowledge increases, nur comes. You get light. If I take this off, I'll look like an animal, a monkey. If I've got this on my head, then I'm alive. Here, come here, Mulansa, please come near to me. Here, take this. Let's see, let me show you the game today. Here, take your topi off. Here, take this imam. Here, put this on. Put this imam on your head. Here, come here, please come towards me. Here, take this imam. Look how it looks good. Tell me the truth. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. I swear by Allah. The nur has gone into this person. Please give my imam back to me. Please. Don't let jazb and emotion overcome you. And this is the difference that will come into you. The current has gone. Suddenly, what? Hubbe Rasool, the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The invitation, and we don't wear it, I'm ashamed. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. How can we be ashamed of the sunnah? We leave the sunnah out of shame, we have to pass away. The qabr will come, maut will come, destinations will come. and all places what will give us success, Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On the bridge of Sirat, what will give us success? Sunnah actions, where all the Anbiya's will go to thereafter. All will give an answer. They won't help us. There will be nobody to help us. Who will assist us in the hereafter? Imamul Anbiya, the head of the prophets, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And how will we show him our faces? And he will say to us on the judgment, you never revived my Sunnah. Were you not ashamed? You used to read that hadith. You had ilm, knowledge. You knew. And did you ever say to your son, your child, your daughter, he's become this, he's a graduate and he's achieved and money. Have you ever said that my son is an ashik of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Has this ever come to your mind? I need to break my son or daughter an ashik of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if we make them ashiks, we make them gatiya. We should make them such that our children, they're walking around like angels. My brothers, that we have spoilt our descendants, our offspring, progeny. We're afraid of and ashamed of the Sunnah. Is this something to be ashamed of? And what we should be ashamed of, we're not ashamed of today. Ajeeb, ajeeb topis and caps and faces and such weird beards. Someone has a beard this long and this long. Whose beard are you having adorning? This is a joke. This is a joker appearance a person's got when he's not got the correct length of form of beard. And this is not deen. Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed us to keep the beard. Minimum length is one fist length from all four sides, and that's the beard. And this person who doesn't have this beard, he hasn't got a beard. Such actions, the tariqah of Rasulism, we've left an adab. We leave the sunnah because we think that we can't practice. It's too hard, we're ashamed. An adab, punishment comes up. Our salah is not accepted. In the previous nations, one of the person who didn't have a full beard could not come to the front row. He was not given the permission to give adhan or to stand in the front row for salah. And this is a saza, he's a fasik, evildoer, doesn't have a complete length. We forgot all of this. He doesn't have the complete length of it. And today I'm repeating all these lessons to you with the fadl of Rasul, my brothers. Let's do dua to Allah. The wife said, may Allah give me the tawfiq to do amal on this, and may Allah give you the tawfiq to do amal on this, and the mistakes we're making, let's correct them before death. And let's revive our lives and start to earn good deeds, implement good deeds. That don't just keep your deen to one time. Allah Ta'ala says, practice the dhikr of Allah and practice the sunnah of Rasulullah. Every second ask yourself, how did the Prophet do this action? We hear the Shaykh Bayazid Bastami, who's a great Shaykh, Buzur, pious person. How did he become a wali of Allah? His style, how he became a wali. Once a melon was presented to him, he said, I will not eat this. And they said, it's halal, why don't you eat this? He said, the reason for this is that until today I've not researched that how did the Prophet eat this melon? How? So how can I eat this? Because I don't want to practice against the sunnah, subhanAllah. And we sacrifice goats and eat the meat, and we don't know from where did we eat and where should we eat from, where should we leave the meat. No, it's halal, halal, halal. Okay, it's halal, it's lawful, but make this halal, mahbub, beloved to Allah. Make it noor, illuminated. SubhanAllah. After this today, with the fadl of Allah, let's listen clearly. Two actions we have to do. Dhikr of Allah, remember Allah always. And before you do any action, ask yourself that, what is the sunnah of the Prophet in doing this action? That's it, end of story. Both deeds are easy, easy, simple, and both are the death to shaitan nafs. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq and you. That now, inshallah, let's do the dhikr of Allah. Okay, let's start doing dhikr of Allah.